السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، our discussions from the book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah are still centered upon the jar. It talks about our jar have been our major area of concern in the last few classes. Yesterday we came into the chapter Babun Yuksiru Ma Al-Marak وَيَقْسِمُ فِي الْجِيرَانِ. We came under the chapter that the individual would increase the quantity of his soup, of his broth, وَيَقْسِمُ فِي الْجِيرَانِ, and that will enable him be able to share what he has cooked with his neighbors. We read regarding that the hadith of Abu Dharr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam enjoining him to إِذَا صَنَعْتَ مَرَقَةً فَأَكْثِرْ مَاءَهَا. When you cook a broth, when you cook a soup, فَأَكْثِرْ مَاءَهَا, that he should increase the volume, the quantity of the water he adds to it. He then said, ثُمَّ انظُرْ أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ مِنْ جِيرَانِكِ, and then he looks at the people of a home, the household amongst his neighbors. فَأَصِبْهُمْ مِنْهُ بِمَعْرُوفٍ, and then he gives them some collection. He pours some of the soup for them بِمَعْرُوف, in a nice way or with niceness. So this is what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has encouraged us to do regarding the neighbors. When we stick to this, it will make us know our hungry neighbor or the neighbors that are not hungry. But this is particularly not about the hungry neighbor. It's not just about being hungry. Being hungry is with a greater need. When the neighbor is hungry and his needs are not fulfilled, this is with a greater need, because there the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ الَّذِي يَشْبَعُ وَجَارُهُ جَائِرٌ. He is not a true believer. He has weak faith, the one whose neighbor is hungry, while he is filled up. And most of the times, many of us are filled in our homes. So this is not just about providing what the neighbor will eat. This is about sharing goodness with the neighbor. It's about hadiyah, providing a gift of food. It's not about providing charity this time around that we usually direct to those who are poor. But this time it is from the aspects of hadiyah, providing a gift. And we know from the aspects of hadiyah is that it could be from a poor to the rich. So what we are saying does not have to be from someone who is considered rich in the neighborhood to the poor ones. It could actually be from the poor ones to those who actually are rich. And it could also be from those who actually are rich to those who actually are poor in the community. Exchange of food in the community. Oh, we cooked these rice, beans, and plantain. It sounds nice. We want you to taste from it. And unfortunately, in our own times, when such a thing is to be started, there might be some sort of withdrawals because of what the evil shaitan has placed in the hearts of people against others. If I just sit in my house now and someone brings a food of pounded yam, egusi, and some meat to me, the first thing that comes to my mind is that, did I tell this person that I'm hungry? This is usually the first thing that will come to the mind. But what will now be coming to our minds for these kinds of reports is that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has actually encouraged that as Muslims. So we should start from that. So the same thing applies. If you are the one providing the need and your neighbor considers it strange, this is something you have not done before. Don't allow that strange consideration to hold you back from doing it. You should still try to beat the strangeness, set it aside, such that the relationship, the next thing that comes to his mind is that, oh, my neighbor has changed towards me. And these kinds of attitude and approach, they bring about well-being and peace in the community. You could imagine if I am like that, you are like that, everyone is like that in their neighborhood. Nobody would be afraid of any kind of evil from the neighbor. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged that. In the hadith that follows the one we read yesterday we read hadith number 113. In hadith number 114, it is the same hadith with 113, but it has come with a different isnad and with a different expression, but with the same meaning. The hadith number 113 has come with a different isnad. It has come with a different word. It has come with a different wording, but the meanings of hadith number 103 and 114, the meaning in the two narrations are about exactly the same. We had mentioned previously that this is one of the ways of the scholars of hadith. A hadith will come to them from different routes, and they will consider each of them to be a different hadith. Meanwhile, it is the same hadith with the same meaning or with the same expression. So when they are gathered, when these kinds of hadith are gathered with different meanings, then you start having them dividing the hadith to be whether ahad or mutawatir. You see, they're saying that hadith is mutawatir. Why? It has come from different companions, 20, 25, 30, for example, number of companions. So meaning that has come from different routes. From those companions, maybe each of them, two, three, amongst the tabi'un reported hadith. So they consider each of these hadiths as a different hadith. That is why Al-Imam al-Bukhari has also cited the hadith with a different meaning, with a different wording and isnad with which he has reported the hadith. So hadith number 114, in it Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, rahimahullah, haddathana al-Humaydi. He said, haddathana al-Humaydi, qala haddathana Abu Abd al-Samad al-Ammi. قال حدثنا أبو عمران عن عبد الله بن الصامت عن أبي ذر قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أبا ذر إذا طبخت مرقة فأكثر ماء المرقة وتعاهد جيرانك أو اكسن في جيرانك. It says قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أبا ذر إذا طبخت مرقة فأكثر ماء المرقة إذا طبخت مرقة فأكثر ماء المرقة وتعاهد جيرانك أو اكسن في جيرانك. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his Shaykh Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who is popularly referred to as what? Al-Imam al-Humaydi. His name is Abdullah ibn Humaydi. Al-Misri, rahimahullah, also amongst the students of Sufyan ibn Uyayna. We read in the past about him, and we mentioned about him. He was said to have stayed for about 19 years with Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He has about all his ahadith, and he is a dependable scholar among the scholars of hadith, one of the most dependable regarding the ahadith of Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna. So here Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions him and says, Haddathana al-Humaydi. He is Abdullah ibn Zubayr al-Humaydi. He said, Haddathana Abu Abd al-Samad al-Ammi. Haddathana Abu Abd al-Samad. So the Shaykh of Al Hubaydi in this hadith was not Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Neither was it Al Imam Shafi'i, because Al Hubaydi was also a major student from amongst the students of Al Imam Shafi'i in this, rahimahumullah. But this time he's reporting this hadith from his Shaykh Abu Abdus Samad Al Ammi. Abu Abdus Samad is Abdul Aziz ibn Abdus Samad. Abu Abdus Samad in this isnad, he is Abdul Aziz ibn Abdus Samad. He said, Haddathana Abu Imran. This is where this hadith now connects with hadith number 113. Because Abu Abdus Samad, who is Abdul Aziz ibn Abdus Samad, he reports it from Abu Imran. Likewise, in the earlier report in 113, Al-Imam Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj reported it from who? Abu Imran. So the link returns to Abu Imran. So the hadith is still gharib. The hadith is still what? Gharib. That is a hadith that is known. The hadith still finally ends with one isnad. Even though at the beginning, the isnad are different. At the beginning of 113, it ends with Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj. And at the beginning of Hadith 114, it ends with Abu Abdus Samad. So Abu Abdus Samad, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, has the chain between Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj and himself in Hadith 113. And in Hadith 114, it's not between Abu Abdus Samad and who? Al-Imam al-Bukhari. But they both combine, Abu Abdus Samad and Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj both reported the hadith from who? Abu Imran. And this Abu Imran al-Jawni, his name is Abdul Malik ibn Hadib. He has also reported it from Abdullah ibn Samit, who reported it from who? Abi Zarin al-Ghifari. This kind of a hadith is an example of Al-Gharib al-Mufrad. It's an example of what? Al-Gharib al-Mufrad, al-Mutlaq. Al-Gharib al-Mutlaq is absolutely gharib. It has just come. Based on what we are discussing here, it has just come with this isnad from Abu Dharr to Abdullah ibn Samit, and then to who? And then to Abu Imran al-Jawni. And then it divides into two from there to Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj, and then who? Abu Abdus Samad. This is how asanid come from the scholars of hadith, and they really, really enjoy dealing with these things because they show how precise each of these reporters were in the collection, in the documentation, and in the reporting of the hadith that they report. Rahimahumullah. So in this report, it has come with another expression. Abu Zarrin, in the first report, he told us, he said, Awsani Khalili bi-salatin. My beloved friend Khalil, we described who the Khalil is. And we mentioned that it is stronger than being what? A Habib. The Khalil is stronger than who? Habib. And they have come with the same al-wazn. The Habib is the fa'il, so it can refer to both sides. And it can also, that is, it can refer to the one who is loving and the one who is loved. It can also refer to a male or a female. A male can be Habib. The female can also be Habib. The female may also refer to as who? Habib, just like the male is yaqbalu tazkir wa ta'nis. That's what they will say to us. But I'm just saying it in a way that we all will understand it. Yaqbalu ta'nis wa tazkir. The word fa'il will take to be a masculine, it will also take the feminine. So you can refer to your wife as Habib. She can refer to you as who? Habib. If you are the one loving her, you can refer to her as Habib. If she's the one loving you, you too can refer to him as a Habib. The one who is love and loving, they are both, that is, it takes ismul fa'il and the maf'ul also. Allahu alam about that. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, in this hadith of Abu Zarrin, says, Ya Aba Zarrin. He called him Ya Aba Zarrin. يا أبا ذر، أو أبو ذر، ده صفات أحرف نداء. That will make Abu Dharr pay attention to what the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام wants to say. And that's usually the expression of counsel. When he says, Awsani, my friend counseled me, my beloved one counseled me. Of course, it means that during the counsel, the Prophet said to him, Oh Abu Dharr. So he took it that it was a counsel. Oh Abu Dharr, Ya Abu Dharr. So that is why when the ahadith are many from different routes, we get more information about that hadith from each of those routes, from each of those expressions. We get more information about that hadith. In the first one, he said, Awsani Khalil. The second one, he said, Ya Aba Dharr. It means during that wasiyya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam employed this harf nida, O Abu Dharr. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Iza tabakhta marakata. Iza tabakhta marakata. Iza tabakhta marakata. The Prophet said, Ya Aba Dharr, O Abu Dharr. Iza tabakhta marakata. When you cook a soup, when you cook a broth, فَأَكْثِرْ مَاءَ الْمَرَقَةِ increase the well, increase the water, increase the water in it. When you make soup, when you make, we explain what the maraka could be. We explain what it could be. When you make a maraka, a soup, a broth, increase the water in it. And then he said here, وَتَعَاهَدْ جِرَانَكَ تَعَاهَدْ الْجِرَانِ is go now to pay attention to your neighbors. When you make soup, increase the water in it, and then pay good attention. Direct sufficient attention to your neighbors. That is, do the needful regarding your neighbors. When you make a soup, add some water to it and do the needful towards your neighbor. What is the needful? We have understood it from the first report. And that is that فَأَصِبْهُمْ مِنْهُ بِمَعْرُوفٍ collect good enough portion in a good manner for your neighbors. That is what it means here when he says وَتَعَاهَدْ جِرَانَكَ do the needful, do what is appropriate regarding your neighbors. He said, أَوِكْسِمْ فِي جِرَانِكَ or divide it among, share it, share the broth, share the soup that you have cooked, share it amongst your neighbors. This is a major aspect of the sunnah, but that is so strangely practiced today, so hardly practiced today amongst us. Yesterday, I was insisting that many of us should try out this sunnah. And if we try it out, we would have broken the barrier, and then gradually it becomes a thing that we do regularly. Not necessarily that a sister from one part of the city brings it to another sister in another part of the city. Look in your community and provide a gift, not a sadaqah, a gift of food. Providing a gift of food. And providing food is from the major aspects of even sadaqah itself. Providing food is from the major aspects of providing hadiyah, gifts too. You can invite your brothers to your house, or brothers, please kindly visit me today. I have a meal for you to partake in. These are things that we hardly do. We hardly do it. We hardly invite our brothers, please, can you visit us? And then we have a meal that we all will partake in. I have a lot of experience amongst, sorry to say, the Arabs in terms of these kinds of invitation. You find they come to invite you. So can you visit us today and partake in a meal with us? Can you visit us today, partaking, whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan? Very eminent people will come to invite you for meals in their homes. But amongst us, we always think that we are poor, we don't have. We are poor, we don't have. But you have something to eat. That what you want to eat should still be the same thing that you should invite your brother, your neighbor to. Let's share the food. Let him see what you are eating. Let's eat it together. Perhaps one day a job opportunity will come in his mind and you will be the first person he's thinking about, even though he does not tell you. So let's have this mindset of providing food, eating food with ourselves. Although unfortunately today, yeah, it's just all about myself, my home, my wife, my children, and my kids. That's all. May Allah forgive all of us. We are all in this together. The nuclear lifestyle is too much for us. May Allah protect us all. I think that the lesson in this chapter heading is well taken, that we should be from amongst the people who prepare food and take some from the food we have provided to our neighbors. We grew up to know this amongst elders. I personally grew up to see this. I have delivered food left and right to our house and from our house on many occasions to people. Oh, I have a friend. I just cooked this food. Come and take this food to Yasososo. We experience these kinds of things. But our so-called Western inclinations, Allahu A'lam, has made us to feel that we are beyond these kinds of things in these kinds of times now. May Allah forgive all of us. I hope that we all will adjust ourselves and take to that which is best. In the next chapter, Imam al-Bukhari says, Rahimahullah, Babu khayril jiran. Babu khayril jiran. Or Babun khayrul jiran. We can say that too. As Imam al-Bukhari said, the chapter regarding the best of neighbors. Which neighbor is the best in the neighborhood? You say, who is the best of neighbors? What is it that has been reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the best of neighbors? How do you achieve that status of being the best amongst the neighbors? It means from amongst the goals an individual can set out for himself in his neighborhood is that, look here, I will be the best of all the neighbors to everybody. Just like employers say, we'll be the best of employers. When they want to employ the people, they say, don't worry, we'll be the best. You find us from amongst the best of employers. Likewise, we should be from amongst the best of neighbors. How will that mean? How will that come? That will come from the aspect of the one who most appropriately fulfill the rights of neighbor. The more you fulfill the rights of neighbor, the one who is able, for example, provide food in the community, he is the best of them. And he's the one from whom the neighbors hardly found any harm. Hardly does any harm come to anybody in the community through you. And most of the times, the good to the rest of the neighbors comes through you. Then you are going to earn the title of Afdalul Jiran, Khairul Jiran, the most virtuous in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the neighbors. If you want this crown on your head, then you must be from amongst the neighbors who is most fulfilling. And you know, this thing crystallizes out in the community. In the community, it usually becomes manifest when a person pays attention to the affairs of the community. You see, everybody in the community, when there's no electricity or there's perhaps the rain or the wind blows and there's a fault in the electricity in the area, people come to his house. Abu Fulan, please come and help us. Don't you like to be that kind of a neighbor? The neighbor that the people say, oh, it is because Abu Fulan is not around. If Abu Fulan were to be around, we would have pushed him forward to help us resolve this matter. Because the scholars, like we mentioned yesterday, they say, jubilat nas an tuhabbiba man uhsina ilayha. The human mind is created to love the one who does good to it. So if you do good to the people in the neighbor, they will certainly love you. And what that will mean is that they will also seek to protect you, because they don't like to lose the benefits they are gaining from you. When you are beneficial to the people don't like to lose you. When you are beneficial to people, the people don't like to lose you. They protect you. And there's something subtle that comes along with that. You control them. When people love you, you control them. When you make benefit to the people, they love you. When they love you, you discreetly tell them, don't do this. They'll say, oh, let's not do this. Why? So-and-so person who brings benefit to us does not like it. So subtly you control them. When you are nice to the people, the one who gains it all in relationship with people are those who are nice to people. when you are nice to people in your speech, in your character, and your approach and attitude to them, you gain it all. There is no loss for you. You gain in every aspect of your relationship with the people. So regarding this in the community and becoming a person like this in the community, what has the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, regarding this? And Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported the narration from Abdullah ibn Yazid. So he said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abdullah ibn Yazid, qala haddathana Haywa, qala akhbarana Shurahbil ibn Shariq, annahu sami'a Aba Abd al-Rahman al-Hubuli, yuhadithu an Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, an Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, annahu qala, خير الأصحاب عند الله تعالى خيرهم لصاحبه خير الأصحاب عند الله تعالى خيرهم لصاحبه وخير الجيران عند الله تعالى خيرهم لجاره خير الأصحاب عند الله تعالى خيرهم لصاحبه وخير الجيران عند الله تعالى خيرهم لجاره. الإمام البخاري reported it from his Shaykh Abdullah ibn Yazid, Abu Abdul Rahman. Abdullah ibn Yazid is Abu Abdul Rahman, rahimahullah. He reported it from Haywa. Haywa is one of the people, one of the scholars in the tabaq of Al-Imam al-Shu'b ibn al-Hajjaj. Was a very, very learned person amongst the scholars of hadith. Haywa, rahimahullah. He said, Akhbarana Shurahbil ibn Shariq. Akhbarana Shurahbil ibn Shariq. Shurahbil, the son of Shariq, reported to us that he heard Abu Abdul Rahman al-Hubuli. Abu Abdul Rahman al-Hubuli was a great scholar of Quran amongst the Atba'ut Tabi'in, but amongst the Tabi'un. Abu Abdul Rahman al-Hubuli, he was amongst the scholars of Quran. His name is Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Hubuli. Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Hubuli, he has a major virtue. He taught the Quran for over 60 years. For over 30 years, he was teaching Quran in Mecca. For another 30 years, he was teaching Quran in Basra when he moved to Basra. So when he lived in Mecca, for over 30 years, he was teaching Quran. Over 30 years. When he moved from Mecca to Basra, he was teaching the Quran. فَكَانَ مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كَانَ. So he became blessed wherever he was. Because from the meanings of that verse, وَجَالَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ, that we read in Surah Maryam. In Surah Maryam, the scholars say, اِجْعَلْنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ, means that make me a person who will be inviting to goodness wherever I am. So this Shaykh Abu Abdul Rahman al-Hubuli, he lived in Mecca for 30 years. In the entirety of the 30 years, he was teaching Quran. He moved to Basra. In the entirety of the period till he died, so he has a record of teaching the Quran for 60 years consecutive. Rahimahullah. He is the one who has reported this hadith from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhuma. We remember that Abdullah and his father Amr ibn al-As, they are both from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So what has he reported the messenger to say? What was the messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam reported to say about the best of neighbors? He said, khayrul ashabi inda Allahi ta'ala khayruhum li sahibi. Khayrul ashab. Al-ashab, companions, colleagues, friends, a group of people who are together regarding a particular affair. These people are referred to as what? Ashab. One of them is referred to as what? Sahib. Khairul Ashab. The best of your colleagues. The best of your friends. So if you have, you are a friend of, you have a group of friends. There are five of them. There are six of them. There are seven of them. How do you pick out the best of them in the sight of Allah subhanahu? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, khayrul ashabi inda Allahi ta'ala khayruhum li sahibi. So the best of them is the most beneficial amongst them to the rest of the friends. So if you are six in number, the one amongst you who is most beneficial to all of you in the group of six is the best of you in the sight of Allah. Regarding your companionship. So if you say all things equal, of course, birds of the same feather flock together. So all things being equal, you all regularly observe your salah. You all observe your salah according to the sunnah. You all pay attention to the matters of your religion. You all pay attention to the matters of your family. You pay attention and you seek to improve yourself upon the deen all the time. You want to do good deeds, you call them, hey brothers, I want to do, let's do it together. You're always doing good deeds together and all that has connected you is good. Still, we can pick out the best of you. The best of you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of you, the most beneficial amongst you to the rest of you. The most beneficial amongst you to the rest of you, all things being equal. Ceteris paribus, as we say, is the best of you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah has encouraged being nice to our friends and colleagues. So if you are nice to your friends and colleagues, and you are the most nice or the nicest amongst a group of colleagues, then that means you are the best of them. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ الْأَصْحَابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى خَيْرُهُمْ لِصَاحِبِهِ. The best of friends in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of them, the most beneficial to his colleagues. So if you are two friends, you both encourage yourself to memorize the Quran. You both encourage yourself to study the Quran apart from memorization. You both encourage your friends to marry good wives and pious women. You both encourage yourself to set up a family based on recognizing the rights of Allah and the Messenger والسلام, over you in the family. You both encourage yourself to be kind and nice, to keep and keep. You encourage yourself about everything in the deen. Who is the best amongst the two of you? The best of you to his brother. So this is what the Messenger says, alayhi salatu wasalam. Khairul ashabi inda Allahi ta'ala, khairuhum li sahibi. The best of friends in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a group of friends or amongst two friends is the most beneficial of them to the next level. In this book, Hilyatul Talib al-Ilm, that most of us would have read by Sheikh Abu Abdullah Bakr ibn Abi Zayd, Sheikh Bakr ibn Abi Zayd, he has a book, Hilyatul Talib al-Ilm. Many of our brothers read this book, and it's a very, very good book. When he was talking about the manners of the talib with the rest of his colleagues, yes, al-adabu ma'az-zumala, the manners of the students of knowledge learning Islam, because now you are colleagues. Why? You are both learning Islam together. You both approached the scholar together to learn Islam and acquire the knowledge of your religion. So you are colleagues, you are friends, or you are in a classroom together, learning together. So he mentioned adabu az-zamala awiz-zumala, the manners of being colleagues, or the manners we must employ when we relate to the rest of our colleagues. So he mentioned it. And from the major things he mentioned, he said colleagues are of three kinds. And I think it would be beneficial to mention it here, bi-ibnillah. He says we have what he calls rahimahullah, sadiqu al-manfa'a. You have sadiqu al-manfa'a, a friend who is just interested in benefiting from you. He's not interested in directing benefits to you. He called it what? Sadiqu al-manfa'a. He is your friend because of some particular things he's gaining from you. Otherwise, he will never come near you. These are not good friends. These are not good colleagues. So the relationship will be one-sided. All you think for him is goodness that will go to him. And the reason why he is with you is not that he wants any good for you. He just wants to be able to parasite you. I think in basic biology, that's what you refer to as what? Parasite. He just wants to stay with you, gain from you. That's all. If anyone asks him, what's your relationship with that one? Maybe just to stay with him, collect the money we get, or collect his food, or marry his daughter, or any of this. So that's just the reason why he's with you. So the Sheikh referred to him as what? صديق المنفعة أو صديق منفعة. A friend who is just with you because of one or two things, he benefits from you. These are not good friends. May Allah protect us from people like this. The second group of friends he mentions, he called them صديق ماذا؟ صديق لفظة. He referred to that as صديق لفظة. It's your friend when he wants to hang out. He wants a gist. He calls you in your house. Ah, Abu Fulan, I'm coming to your house like a gist on the Facebook. Let's talk about it. That's the time that he comes to. He wants to relax. He wants to pass time. He wants to attend a walima to nikah. He just wants to enjoy himself. He's been in the house walking and studying and reading. But the time for you to study and walk and read and pay attention to the family, that is the time that he needs from you. He wants to relax now. So he's a friend of relaxation, a friend of merriment. Don't take these kinds of people as friends. He grouped the third group amongst the people. He referred to them as what? Sadiqul Fadl. What did he refer to them? Sadiqul Fadila. Sadiqul Fadila. A friend of virtue. He wants much. He wants to benefit you. He wants to benefit from you. He wants to benefit you. He also wants to benefit from you. These are friends. These are good neighbors. These are good colleagues. From the best of them. He wants to benefit, grant benefit to you. And you want to bring benefit to him. So he took you as a friend because he can gain from you and make you gain from him. You are taking him as a friend because you can gain from him and he can also gain from you. The two of you are like this. You want to exchange virtues amongst you. But who is the best amongst you? The best amongst you is the most beneficial to his brother. This is what this hadith says. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayrul ashabi inda Allah ta'ala khayruhum li sahibihi wa khayrul jirani inda Allah ta'ala khayruhum ijarihi. The best of the neighbors in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most exalted, is khayruhum ijari. So as good as the neighborhood can be, the best of you is the one who is best to the rest of the neighbors. The best in the neighborhood is the one who is best to the rest of the neighbors. The best in the neighborhood before Allah before Allah is the most beneficial in the neighborhood to the rest of the neighbors. Don't forget, all things being equal. Sometimes you find that those who do the walking, the running around for on behalf of the neighbors, they may not be Muslims. Some of the times. They may not be Muslims, but they will get the reward for that goodness. Because nobody is deprived the reward for a goodness that he does. I think this will be sufficient on this hadith. Of course, the goodness they will get in this dunya. As for the akhirah, لَا نُكِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. They will not have any kind of mizan, the way of goodness, on the day of Qiyam. Why? Because they are disbelievers in Allah. What enables a person to be able to gain goodness in the hereafter is iman. Is the first thing, the first foundation. It's like opening an account with a bank, so to speak. Let's take it to be a Sharia-based bank. So you open an account in a place where you drop your good deeds, you drop your belongings. So if a person does good deeds, he has a lot of money and he does not have a bank account, can he keep the money in the bank? Your account is bank A. You work all your life, gather a dad a lot of money, fill your house with US dollars or pounds sterling or euro. How is it possible that you take that money to bank B? It's not possible. You just bank it where you have a bank account. If you must bank in bank B, they open an account for you first. So the account for good deeds is iman. Accepting the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. So the one who has no iman, la yuqamu lahu yawm al-qiyamati wazn, does not have the mizan, the wazn, good deeds. His good deeds will not be weighed on the qiyam. He has no weight. So the entirety of the reward for whatever good he does, it just ends in this dunya. No rewards in the hereafter. So but the Muslim who is upon goodness again has a lot of rewards. May Allah protect all of us upon iman. So the best of the neighbors is the one who is best to the rest of the neighbors. The best of the neighbors in the Allah is in the sight of Allah, before Allah. the best of them, in the eyes of, in the sight of Allah subhanahu. The best of you is the one who is best to the people. So you see, this hadith is like khayrun nas man yanfa'un nas. The best of the people are those who benefit the people. So we should make haste to be from amongst those who benefit people. In everything that we try to be of benefit, grant benefits to people. It does not prevent you from gaining benefits from Allah. Be beneficial to people. Be a beneficial Muslim. When at work, be a beneficial person. At home, be a beneficial person. In your streets, in your area, be a beneficial person. In your family, be someone who gives benefits. Don't expect rewards from them. But when they do it, accept and acknowledge it. Be happy when benefit is directed to you by those that you give benefit to. But don't cut off benefits from people because they have not benefited. Allow the parasites to parasitize. Allow the parasites to parasitize. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, da'un nas. Allow the people, yantafi'u ba'duhum min ba'd. Let some of them gain from the rest of them. So allow the parasites to parasitize. So, but you, let the standard with you be that I want to grant benefit to the rest of them. May Allah protect all of us. The next chapter, I think we can still quickly read that hadith with the time that we have. The chapter says, Babun al-Jaru Salih. Babun al-Jaru Salih. The virtue of having a pious neighbor. The virtue of having a pious neighbor. When Allah provides you with a pious neighbor, what has He done to you? He has shown you virtue. He has shown you compassion. He has shown you favor. When Allah grants you a pious neighbor, pious neighbor, pious neighbor will encourage you to observe salah. Pious neighbor will encourage you to perform zakawa. Pious neighbor will encourage you, hey, neighbor, let's go for Umrah and Hajj. Pious neighbor will encourage you, hey, when last did you visit your mother? Pious neighbor will encourage you, hey, what are you doing in your family? What's your role? And he will discourage you from evil likewise. Most of the times, evil neighbors will direct evil towards you and encourage you when you mistakenly fall upon something you yourself will look back and regret. They still encourage you, well done. That's what the bad neighbor will say. So this chapter tells us about the virtue of having, what do you gain when you have a pious neighbor, a neighbor that's upon righteousness? What do you gain? The first thing you should know that is that if you have a good neighbor, if you have a righteous neighbor, and the righteousness is that someone who is mustaqim upon the deed, this is the meaning of righteousness. Not that you are neighbors to rich people, no. Of your neighbors to influential people. No. When you are a neighbor to someone who fears Allah and maintains the limits of Allah, you are a neighbor to a righteous person. So having a righteous neighbor is from the blessings of Allah. This is what we want to discuss under this chapter. The righteous neighbor, a favor from Allah. Subhanahu. What did the Prophet say, alayhi salam, regarding a righteous neighbor? Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith, that will be hadith number 116 from a Shaykh Muhammad ibn Kathir. Muhammad ibn Kathir is not the author of Tafsir ibn Kathir. This is Muhammad ibn Kathir Abu Abdullah al-Abadi. Muhammad ibn Kathir Abu Abdullah al-Abadi. He said, Akhbarana Sufyan. Akhbarana Sufyan. His Shaykh in this hadith is Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. He is reporting from Habib ibn Abi Thabit. And Habib ibn Abi Thabit is reporting from Khumail. In most of our books, you find Khumail. He is Khumail. Rahimahullah is the tabi'i of this hadith. Is the tabi'i of this hadith. And he is reporting the hadith from the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nafi' ibn Abdul Harith. Nafi' ibn Abdul Harith is the companion who reported this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. that the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wa salam, min sa'adati al-mar'i al-muslim. Min sa'adati al-mar'i al-muslim al-maskan al-wasi' wal-jaru al-salih wal-markabu al-hani'. Min sa'adati al-mar'i al-muslim al-maskan al-wasi' wal-jaru al-salih wal-markabu al-hani'. From the things of joy, from the things that indicate success, or that will help you attain success in this dunya. In a report, it says, Arba'un min as-sa'ada. Four things are from success. Four things are from the things of delight and happiness. When you have four things, Allah, through these four things, will bring you success. What does that success mean? You will be happy, and your worship of Allah on the earth will be easy. Please note this point. These four things are not four things for us to pride over the rest of the people. They are not things for us to feel superior over the people. They are not things for us to look down upon the people. They are things that will help us attain servitude to Allah on the earth. That is why they are things of success. If you think you have any of these things and it does not help you towards servitude to Allah, then it is not a means of success for you. If you have any of these three things in this hadith, but they are four, we'll mention the fourth one. If you have them and it is not a means for you to earn Allah's pleasure on the earth, then where is the success? Because those who are successful in this dunya are those who are able to obey the limits of Allah in this dunya. So if these four things prevent you from obedience to Allah, don't count it as success. It is fitna to you. May Allah protect all of us. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min sa'adatil mar'il muslim, from the things of success for the Muslim person, for the Muslim individual, if you are a Muslim, meaning that these things may not be things of success for the kafir. If a kafir has money and he donates money to improve the church, has that money become a means of success? No, it should be a means of wabal for him, more punishment in Qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah. So if a person has a very nice voice, which should be ordinarily a thing of value, and he sings with it instead of reading the Quran, is the nice voice a thing of value? You see now? So likewise, these issues that we are counting, they are means of delight and success and happiness for the individual when the individual gains nearness to Allah through these things. So that is the interpretation of them. Does not mean that I'm successful in this dunya. Are those things, these four things themselves, are they means for you to come close to Allah? If they are, you are truly successful. And these four things are the signs that you are successful. But if they are not, then you are a failure. Change your attitude to the attitude of the people of success. May Allah protect all of us. The first of them all is al-maskanul wasi', a wide residence. How does a wide residence, your house, where you live, where you reside, is spacious? You have a spacious residence. So how does spacious residence help an individual towards servitude to Allah? He'll be able to house his wife and dependents conveniently, because Allah says, go ask him min haythu sakantum min wujidikum wa la tudarruhunna litudayiku alayhinna. Place your home, your family, your wife in the kind of house where you eat, but don't bring hardship to them. Don't be stringent in the house you keep them, such that they feel constrained in those homes. So if you have al-maskanin al-wasi, a home that is spacious, be able to keep your wives or wife, be able to keep your children or child, be able to take care of your neighbors, be able to take care of your visitors, be able to take care of your relatives when they visit. But you and the woman, you are just in one single room, when you can afford more than that, you are not doing well, because that single room will not enable you to be able to entertain visitors. Some of the brothers, when you visit them, you stand outside. You are going to stand outside the gate. And when you come into the compound, you can't come into the house to sit down. This is not from goodness at all. If a brother visits you, you should be able to enter your house, come into my house, sit down. Have we not heard that the companions used to go into the household of the messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at all times. To visit the messenger in his house. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. So who are you that your brothers will visit you and you keep them standing outside? The way your friends know that they are visited is that they are outside. Take your brothers inside the house and sit them inside the house. So if they are not worth people to bring into your house, then they should not have visited you in the first place. May Allah protect us from evil friends and companions. So al-maskan al-wasil, a residence that is spacious, will encourage you to do these duties. You sleep well, you worship well, you have a masjid in the house, and all of these. When you are able to do this in a spacious house, you should know that that spacious house is a means of success for you in this dunya. The second thing in this hadith is al-jaru salih, and that is the point of reference. That when you have a pious or a righteous neighbor, how do you know that you have this righteous neighbor is a means of success for you? You have a neighbor who is a learned person, and you can't gain from him. It is usually very, very common. These days especially. One of the brothers, one of our learned, very learned brothers also discussed this matter. He says, sometimes the neighbors just look at the man. This is a learned person. They should gain from. But they look at him, perhaps his car is not up to theirs. His house is not up to theirs. His earning monthly is not up to theirs. These are the reasons why people can come down to benefit from that servant of Allah. In fact, many of the times, he's the one that they are afraid of. The one they should be safe with is the one they are afraid of. Why? He does not have a big car like theirs. That's why they are afraid of him. You'll be dealing with him in security matters. You know how people handle people in security? When you phone him, he will not pick your call. He will call you. But when you call him, he will not pick your call. You know those security, the way people call you? He will call you at a time you don't expect. When you don't pick it, if you call back, he will not pick your call. Because he thinks of evil regarding you. May Allah protect us all. That is why it's a major thing for a polygamist not to set his mind upon depending on any human being. Otherwise, he'll be playing with his knowledge and his honor. May Allah protect all of us. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that from the second means of success in this dunya is a pious neighbor. Why? Your children, yourself, your family will gain righteousness from his righteousness. The same way, if it's a bad neighbor, they learn bad things from his children. May Allah protect us. The Prophet used to seek refuge of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam from bad neighbors. We'll come to that in the next chapter. Because bad neighbors, if you are not careful, they will influence your wives, they influence your children, they influence you yourself. You just find out that you took up their character. That's that. May Allah protect us. So when Allah grants you a righteous neighbor, and you are able to gain from his righteousness, you should know that Allah has granted you success. This is the second thing in this hadith, and is the major point of reference. The third thing of success in this dunya is al-markabul hani, a nice ride. It says al-markab, a ride, a mount. Look at the messenger alayhi salam. So it could be a donkey, it could be a camel, it could be a horse. It's a nice thing to ride because they had nice rides on these animals sometimes, and sometimes they have very negative, hard rides on these animals. An animal could be very difficult to ride, even if it be as slow as a donkey or even a mule. It may be difficult to ride, very difficult to ride. When the ride is nice, it will help you. You'll be able to quickly take your family to the hospital when you need to. Be able to quickly take your children to school where you need to. You'll be able to quickly take a ride to the masjid where you need to. When our ride are means of goodness for us, then that means that ride is a means of success for you. So in our own times now, these things translate as cars. In villages and many areas, the rides still remain as horses and donkeys. But in most of the cities of the world now, having a ride, nice ride, and marketable ride will translate to mean having a nice car. If you have a nice car, it will give you a lot of difficulty. Imagine the brother is going for tafsir in the morning. Before he gets to the masjid, the car breaks down. Before he fixes the breakdown, he has finished Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Fajr. Has that car helped him towards Salina? Then that is a problem. So on the other hand, the brother leaves his home 15 minutes to Fajr. He gets to the masjid. He observes, he gets to the masjid 5 or 10 minutes to Salah. He observes his Rakat al-Fajr and remains in the masjid for some time till the Iqamah is commenced. Is that a means of goodness or is it a means of success? So al-Markabul Hani is a ride that is nice, that will help him. The fourth thing that is mentioned is al-Zawjatu Saliha, a pious spouse. Al-Zawju Salih, a pious spouse. When you have a pious spouse, he will fight you when you are not obeying Allah correctly. That is, you have a husband. Many women like to have a husband in under whose house they'll be comfortable. It's all about comfort now. It's less, far less about, this is a man under whom my religion will be preserved. It used to be the reason why women married men. But these days, very few women put this in front of them. I want to marry a man that it will be easy for me to submit to him. You hardly find women thinking about it. They want to marry a man they can control. If you marry a man you can control, you can't be a pious wife. Because from the basic thing about a pious wife is that she is the one that is controlled. So if you plan to control the man from the beginning, you cannot achieve being a pious wife. You can't achieve it. A woman cannot achieve being a pious wife when she planned from the very beginning to be the controller of that husband. If she finally ends her goal, how will she be able to be under the control of the man? So what the woman should think about is a man that I will be safe in my deen. He will protect me. When my family say that I should kneel down, he can explain to them, this my wife cannot kneel down. When my family say I should travel down without a mahram, he can explain to them, oh, mommy, grandma, or mother-in-law, my wife cannot travel because the Islam prevents it. Or when they say she should kneel down, even in the house of the husband, he can prevent that insult that will come to his wife. Many women don't marry men because he can protect their religion again. What they will say that he can guarantee them comfort, that's what they get. So when they marry those men with little consciousness of religion, but with a lot of comfort, they now don't get that comfort. They start running helter-skelter, moving from one husband to the other. May Allah protect us. Let's change our attitude to these issues. I think it will be sufficient to stop here. But the point of reference in this hadith is that when we have a pious neighbor, it is a favor from Allah. When we have a pious neighbor, it is a favor from Allah. I think we can stop here. Aba Yusuf, like the Prophet calls Abu Zar, a Fatih Zar. So when I say Aba Yusuf, I had dropped the harf nida. That's why some brothers say, I call you Aba Yusuf all the time. If I want to make it full, I would say, Ya Aba Yusuf, by employing the harf nida. But when I call you Abu Aba Yusuf without saying, Ya, I had made harf full, harf nida. And that is also sound in Nahu. So I'll say today, Aba Yusuf, Bismillah.
No, Ya Sheikh, no. Salawatu alaykum, Ya Sheikh.
Amen, wa Ya.
Now, this question says, the name of the Sahaba in Hadith 116 is Nafi' ibn Abdul Harith. Is Harith a name of Allah?
Sincerely, I don't remember now, but I will answer in the next class.
No. Jazakumullah
khairan. Ameen.
This one says, is it allowed for a Muslim to choose a friend just because he wants to benefit Islamic knowledge and other important knowledge?
Yes. it is lawful for you. It is the best of friends you can choose. This friend will help you. Do you know this matter is so important amongst the early Muslims that when they are coming to the masjid, they will be begging Allah. Allahumma inni as'aluka jalisan salihan. Oh Allah, I beg you to grant me a successful seatmate in the masjid. Oh Allah, let me sit with somebody who is a good person. And they used to make isti'aza from Jalisusu. I have had two experiences in the Prophet's masjid in Medina. I have sat down between, we observed Maghrib together up to the time of Isha with Al-Sheikh Abdullah ibn Muhammad al-Amin al-Shinkiti. Al-Imam al-Shinkiti is the biggest scholar of tafsir in our times. His mate has not been known till today since he died. As far as tafsir al-Quran is concerned, he is the Albani of Hadith as far as Quran is concerned. Imam al-Shinkiti. I sat down with his son, Abdullah. He is a doctor, PhD. He has a seat in the Prophet's Masjid where he teaches tafsir. And I've attended his classes a lot. We have met a number of times. Fortunately, we have met with some of our brothers here in Nigeria with that sheikh. He will say, oh, my friend from Nigeria, and all of us. We sat together from Maghrib to Isha. And I learned a lot of things. We just sat accidentally. And I did not know that that was the person I was sitting with. But the way he was doing, he was behaving after Salatul Maghrib. I had to talk, after Salatul Isha, I had to talk to him. And he was telling me, and then we started to talk. So sometimes you are so, you feel, that was the first time we met closely. You'll be filled with joy to relate to these kinds of people. He himself, on another occasion, myself and one of our brothers here in Nigeria, we went to observe Salah. He was in our front, we were behind. When we finished the Salah, where I went to make, I think it was Salah to Asri, and we were owing Salah to Zuhr when we arrived. So I went to make Salah to Zuhr. Where I sat down, he was sitting there. And it was Hajj. And I had an issue, I raised the issue with him, and we started discussing the matter before the second of the two of us came to me. One of our major learned brothers here in the country, we were together. So the early Muslims, when they go to the masjid, they beg Allah that, Allah, let me sit with a friend who will be beneficial to me in my deen. So if you want to be choose a neighbor, why will you not be choosing a neighbor who will be beneficial to you in your religion? Why will you not look at somebody, oh, I want to make so and so my friend because I can gain from his religion. But because I can gain from his money, because I can gain from his market, because he can help me gain publicity. Because these are the reasons people take friends. These are bad reasons to take friends. Take a friend. These are merely worldly reasons to take. Take a friend more that if I make him my friend, most likely my religion will be rectified. Make him your friend. Invite him to your house. Talk to him. Discuss with him. Gain from him. But today, the opposite. The people run to for friendship are rich people. You want to make a friend with him because he's rich. You want to gain from him. You don't know that the rich man is one naira more important than you. The way you take your one naira, the rich man takes his one naira more important than you. You don't know that. Yes. And when you note that, hey, but this guy is just looking for my money, he packs up. When you come and ring this bell in the gate, they tell the gate man, Malam, to tell you that, Ogabayana. So take a friend of unrighteousness. A friend of unrighteousness, when he knows that you are coming to him, he opens his door to you. And your discourse will be all about knowledge, all about sunnah, all about benefit, all about salah, all about being righteous, all about correcting yourself, all about rectifying yourself, rectifying your home. So this is the best of gains that any individual will gain from any relationship with people, whether male or female. But if the friendship is about friendship of like women, most of them these days, we can cook cake together, we can do pastries, we can do biscuits and advertise it on Facebook. These are just cheap ways of making friends. They spend a lot of time in this, their friendship of biscuits and pastries on Facebook, but they gain very little about them. Very, very little from these kinds of biscuits and pastries friendship that people have today. May Allah protect all of us. I think it will be sufficient to stop here today. How about you?
No, jazakumullah khairan. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Amin wa iyyakum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.